Today we're going to do the end of Zechariah, which is also a Haftarah. And the end of Zechariah and the end of Malachi are both about the same thing. Prophecy for the end of days. Very esoteric, as is the rest of this book. Okay, let's break down this parak into five sections. The first five psukim refers to a conquest of Jerusalem, and God will appear in the midst of that conquest. The next six psukim, Vav through Yud Aleph, speaks about the new situation that will arise in Yerushalayim as a result of this war. The next four psukim, Yud Beis through Tesvav, speaks about more about the destiny of the nations at this time. Actually, the bulk of the Haftarah is about the nations, because the next four psukim after that, 16 through 19, talks about the observance of the Goyim of Sukkos, hence the Haftarah of Sukkos. And finally, the book ends with the final statement about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and some relationship of the people with Hashem. So let's read the psukim inside, please. Hine Yom Bal Hashem. Okay, the day is coming. Now, the day is coming, we might think that, you know, the prophet says the day is coming soon. Zechariah is 2,400 years ago, you know. Has this day come yet? Alright, so let's take a look at what the prophet has to say.
Neyom bar Hashem v'chulak shalaleich v'kir beich.
Okay,
should I keep doing another?
So the day is coming for God. What does it mean, the day for God? Miuchat lo, shemuretz lo. Everyone at that time will know that this is a day of God. Right? Malachi perhaps uses the same terminology to more as a more famous, more recognizable in the world because it's a song. So, for instance, Tehillim speaks about a Yom Yerushalayim. Only, although we have a day in the calendar called that, that's a bad day in Tehillim. Yom Yerushalayim is the day of the Chorban. It calls Yom Yerushalayim. So I guess you want to like uproot such a delineation. Anyway, this is the Yom Bol Hashem. Day is coming. It'll be a day of God. Chulak shloleich v'kirbeich. Your shalal is booty, right? Spoils of war. Your spoils will be divided in your midst. In other words, people will be dividing Yerushalayim. So they said that all of your spoils are going to be taken, right? Will be divided amongst those who are spoiling you, or despoiling you, however you want to say it. Okay?
The
Asatias
Kolagim El Yerushalayim Anukha, Vinil Kedaha Ir, Vinashasu Habatim, Vanashim Shishachavna, Vyatahatiha Ir Babala, Vyasar Am Loi Kares Miha Ir.
Wow. There's actually a Nebu like this in Sefer Yeshayahu as well. But let's see what he's talking about. He says, I'll call the Goyim to this place. Now he says, Kol HaGoyim. What does that Kol HaGoyim? It has to be all the Goyim? Does it have to be all the nations of the world? All the surrounding nations, that could be. Almost refers to six nations surrounding Israel. Certainly all the nations surrounding her got involved in that. Yecheskel seems to imply in his picture of Melchemes Gog and Magog that there is a war involving all representatives of the whole world. In other words, the various hemispheres are all. I couldn't say every single nation, every single person in the world, but like when it says in the story of Sodom, it says everyone in the town surrounded Lot's house. It's hard to fathom, right? It means, you know, representations of everybody, a good cross-section of everyone in the town, a rove of the town. Right? Ibn Ezra says this in these places. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and they will all gather upon Yerushalayim. You'll forgive the literalists for saying, listen, this is a war. Look what it says. Half, I mean, it says terrible things, but what happened to the houses and to the women. Right? half the city will be exiled, but be removed from their places, right? And half the city will be able to remain. It says, "V'yitzar Hashem nilcham b'goyim ahem ki yom hilachamo b'yom krov." God is going to go out. God is going to go out and fight for you. Look at the targum. "V'yitgalei Hashem," God will appear, will reveal Himself. "V'aniach krova ba'amamaya ha'inun ki yom anchusei krov al yama desuf." God will fight for you then the way He fought for you at Yam Suf. Because of this pasuk that many like to say that what happened in the Six Day War and 48 was the stuff of saying Hallel, like at Yam Suf. Once you feel that this is talking about Yerushalayim being cut in half and being reunited afterwards, you know, and He says that I'll fight for you the way I fought for you at Kriyas Yam Suf, so we get the picture, right? Okay, let's do Dalet. Renee, would you do pasuk Dalet? Oh my goodness. I will tell you that Israel lies right on top of a fault line, you know. We talked about that this morning because we were learning about Uzziyahu, who was a king of Israel who became very haughty, and he wanted to become a Kohen as well as a king. Right? So he offered incense on the Mizbeach. When he offered it, he became a leper, and there was an earthquake that struck Israel. Can you place another cup down, Alan? And when that earthquake was actually so famous, Yeshayahu makes reference to it, Amos makes reference to it, he says he gave prophecy 2 years before the earthquake. Zechariah himself is about now is about to make reference to it. So earthquakes were part of our experience to compare prophecies so and almost warned the people that with your behavior you're going to get another earthquake soon. Right, which would seem from Amos that the earthquake didn't just come because of Uzziyahu's behavior. Okay, so let's do Pasuk Hey. Here is a we have one word spelled three times in the Pasuk. And I don't have a Minchas Shai here, but I have Minchas Shai at the end. I'm pretty sure that Minchas Shai is going to have a large comment on this Vinas Tem. What's your English trend? Do you have English here? Can you read the whole thing? Read five in English. That's what it says. You will
flee to the valley of the mountains.
Right? Read the whole thing. Yeah?
"And you will flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azal. And you will flee as you fled from the earthquake that was in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah."
Okay, so the problem is that the Targum to the words Vinastem, the second and third, okay, listen carefully to the Aramaic word, is V'te'erkin kimod araktun. Arak. What does Arak mean in Aramaic? Arak means to flee. Okay, now, Pashut, right? Listen to the Targum for the first word in this Pasuk. Ready? V'yistatim. It sounds a little like v'nastem. You know what v'yistatim means in Aramaic? I will close up. Alan, do you have the Minchas Shai on your page?
Mm.
You don't see a parish called Minchas Shai? They're at the end of some. I have it at the end of my Mikros Gedolos. It's a very long entry on this pasuk. You see here, where he points out that he has found many versions of the Bible where the word is not Vinastem, but Vinistam. Vinistam means to close up. Visotum, Parshastuma, right? The Targum had Vinistam, because look at the Targum, the second and third time. Shorish ayin reish kuf, which means to flee. But the first time the word is v'yistatim, which means to close up. So I'm not quite clear what to make of it. You take a look at what Rashi writes. He says, Yonatan Tirgem V'yistatim Gei Harei. The mountains will close up. What it means, according to Rashi, is that you have these mountains up here and these valleys below. They're going to fill each other. The mountains will come into the valleys and finish them. But what does the pasuk mean in any event? Right.
You will close, or the mountains will close?
The mountains will close in. They'll fall in. Now, I cautioned you a few times already in this book. Be very careful how you want to apply these things to modern day events. As much as it's appealing to say this is 48, this is 67, we haven't had these mountains falling in yet.
Right. Right.
What does it mean? Mountains will fill each other up. Right? It's certainly anthropomorphic. God will come down from the heavens and do what? Now this earth is called, Yerushalayim is called Hadom Raglov. Right, the footstool of God is called that. It's called the Beis Hamikdash. But he has to somehow divide the city. Now the city was divided, if I'm correct, east and west, not north and south. Right? The city was divided this way. No, Glenn? Between
67
and 40.
Yeah, it was east and west.
Right, which means it was divided this way.
Correct.
Well, not down this way. Right.
Wait, you're saying over here in the Pesukim?
No, in 47 and 28.
It was divided east-west?
East-west.
Well, into...
Oh, but the line would be north-south.
Okay. And you will have reason to be running for your lives at that time. Right? Uba Hashem Elokai Kol Kedoshim Imach. It's very difficult. Rashi says that the Kedoshim refers to Malachim, and what's all the Mepharshim do? Kadishohi. So. Every parish in the Mikros Gedolah said this refers to God sending angels before him. Okay. I tell you, there are I have books galore with prophecies that this refers to 67 and 48. Of course, there's a great appeal to do so, just that there's this pesky little problem of trying to figure out what this earthquake was, what this... They say it has to do with the shake-up and things like that. Alright. Look, there's certainly precedence in this book to read things figuratively. It gets more difficult now, because not only are the concepts as difficult as they've been all along, but the Hebrew words are going to get difficult. So let's see what I think is one of the most difficult psukim in the book. Let's take a look at Pasuk Vav. So it says, Mat day lo yihye or yikaros v'kipa'on. What? What is kipa'on? So Targum reads, Uglid. Glid means murky, kafui. Some think that the word, the drink, coffee, comes from the same word as this. Okay, what he means to say is that day will be turned murky. So Amos has a similar prophecy regarding a total solar eclipse. People making reference, let's say, to... I think there was a great earthquake in San Francisco in 1905, or the Great Chicago Fire, or something. That fire is going to be even greater than the Great Chicago Fire! That's what he's saying, something like that. Right? So the day will be murky, the day will be, things will be unclear. Unclear is this prophecy. V'haya yom echad hu yivada l'Hashem, lo yom v'lo laila. The day will be very confusing. Okay, the morning, day, night, night and day, everything will be mixed up. The Shomer Mami Laila, Shomer Mami Leil, Kiyosa Bokev Agam Laila, Mishayahu, Shomer Hapke Liyucha Kol Hayom V'Chol HaLaila. In the Vahiba Chatzia Laila, yes. Karev Yom. Ashehulo yom velo laila. Right? That's exactly talking about this prophecy. Right? Anyway, so and then in the evening you'll see light instead of what was supposed to be darkness. And what's going to happen at that point? Glenn, did you read Ches? Why does he have to stress Bekayetz v'chorev? There is something called Nachal Kidron. Have you heard of the Kidron Valley, where the water flows in Yerushalayim?
You don't have water in the summer.
Okay, but there's no water in the summer in the Kidron Valley, right? So he wants to say that whatever, either understand it metaphorically, that there will not be any dried out water supplies, but what would be the Yam HaKadmoni?
Okay.
Yam HaAcharon is it, isn't it? So what would be the Yam HaKadmoni?
Dead Sea.
My Kedah means I'm looking Kodam, I'm looking in front of me. Yama the Kedma, right? Yama is Achor, west is Yama because you face east, right? So if east is so back of you, Achor, Yom HaAcharon, doesn't mean the last, doesn't mean, Acharon there doesn't mean last, Acharon means in back of you, right? Acharov. Okay, so he says that half is going to go to the east, the Dead Sea, half is going to go to the Mediterranean, in the summer as well as in the winter. The water will continue to supply. Now, I don't have to tell you, water is the whole issue in the Middle East, in Israel. You know, the Gemara says that Hashem keeps three keys to himself, and one is the key of water. Gemara at the beginning of Tainus. And Rav Yochanan says, but I think there's also a key of rain. So Gemara says, why didn't the first sheet to hold this water and rain? Because water, parnasa and rain. Because parnasa is rain. Rain is parnasa in Israel. So Zechariah now, since he's speaking about the role played by water at the end of this time, so it's only natural to start talking about Sukkos, where we start praying for water, and Mashiach HaMelech Geshem, Nisuch HaMayim, water plays very important, Shavta Mayim is a song, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, water is very big in Sukkos time. Okay, so the reason this is so interesting to us is because at least two Nevi'im and Ramban by Yitzchak's well says that water is going to play a major issue at the time of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. At that time, everyone will know something that we have very much a part of our tefillos, right? You know, yeah. What you see? Tell us what that is. Okay. So Rashi says, Shekola umot she'en lahem Torah ha'amitit ya'azvu hevlehem v'yodu lo shehu echad ve'enimo el nechar. Okay. At that time, everyone is going to recognize that Hashem is the true God. Now, Zechariah did not say that everyone's going to be wearing tefillin and everyone's going to be keeping mitzvahs on the door and everyone's going to be keeping shakatras and Shabbos and Taras and Shvacha. He just says that they'll recognize the true God. Alright? According to the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, this we're well on our way to this.
Because the Christians,
Allah, whatever you want to call it, it's all, you know, they believe in a creator of the universe and intelligent design and things like that. So on that day, he has Hashem Echad. But what is this? So the Gemara Pesachim asks, "Atuhid Nalav Echadu? God is not one today. What do you mean on that day God will be one?" So Rashi answers, "Yeah, on that day God will be recognized as one. God is not recognized as one today. And that day he'll be recognized as one. But what is this thing about Ushmo Echad?" What does it mean, Shmo Echad? So Rashi just says, Shmo Yehiyeh Shagur B'fihem. People will mention God at that time. Mm-hmm. I don't just mean a gratuitous Baruch Hashem, or, you know, but people will have the idea of an intelligent designer will be part of their consciousness. And that's, so now the rest of Zechariah is going to refer to a bizarre commentary on the observance of Sukkot. The end of Zechariah, if the beginning spoke about the observance of Hanukkah, the end talks about the experience of Sukkot, the observance of Sukkot. And in fact, just as the beginning is that Torah of Hanukkah, this end of Zechariah is that Torah of the first day of Sukkot. Right? In which he basically makes the theme of this prophecy is that in the end of days, when this great war takes place that is going to separate the nations from the nations, if you know what I mean, the only ones who will survive are the ones who celebrate Sukkot. Jews and non-Jews. He picks on Egypt. You see why at the end of the book. Egypt was not a main world power at this time. The world power was Babylonia and Persia. Right? Medes. So why did he pick on Egypt? We'll see why. And he says, you all better observe Sukkot. And that's it. And that's those are the only ones that will survive this great event in the end of days. And that's the end of the book. So let's start with Pasuk Yud Bet. Okay. V'zos tihye ha-magefa asher yigof Hashem et kol ha-amim asher tzavu al Yerushalayim. This will be the plague that will plague the nations that come to march on Jerusalem and stand by her, stand against her. Ha-mek b'saro v'hu omed al raglov. Their flesh will melt while they stand on their feet. Ve'enav timakna b'chorehen. Their eyes will disappear in their sockets. U'lishonot timak b'fihem. Their tongues will melt in their mouths. His description of these things, I mean, could they know then? Look, he's a prophet, he's paid to know these things, but
they're good prophets.
Okay, Richard, how about you take us in the Pasuk Yud Gimel? Ha'yob
ha'yom ha'hu. Ha'yob ha'yom ha'hu tiyya mehumat Hashem rabah bahim v'hechaziku ish yad re'ehu v'alta yado al yad re'ehu.
Okay. On that day, there will be a great confusion. Now, it looks from the end of this pasuk that people are helping each other. That's not what Rashi is saying. People are all fighting for survival. Zechariah is referring to the great confusion that will take place in that time, where, like in some battles you see in Tanakh, especially in Sefer Shoftim, more death comes down from the confusion than from the tragedy itself. Right? The aftermath is worse than the few moments of the attack. Right? Okay. V'gam Yehuda tilochem b'Yerushalayim. How about Moshe? You take this into your dalet.
V'gam Yehuda tilochem b'Yerushalayim. V'saf chel kol goyim saviv. Zahav v'chesef v'gadim l'rav ma'od.
Okay. Yehuda will... What does it mean, gam Yehuda? Is that... Yehuda is going to be the one of the last ones remaining. There will be some Jews fighting, and there will be lots of booty. There will be larov ma'od, gold, silver, clothing. People will be considering what's in it for me? What am I gaining from this battle? Okay, this is getting a little bizarre now. Let's try to do a few more psukim and then we'll wrap it up. Leon, would you do test swap, please? Chen tiyan.
Chen tiyan magifa hasus hapered hagamal v'hachamor v'kol ha-behema asher yiyye v'mahanot ha-hema kama geifa hazot.
What's interesting is that there is a the Das Mikra. I think I saw one here. No, maybe you brought that in. Das Mikra has a note where he quotes Persian records, speaking of a battle on Jerusalem, long after the Tanakh, during the time of Vaisheni, where horses were being felled by the thousands. Horses, but they're felled. So it could be a virus that attacks the animals, it doesn't attack the people, but the horses are dying and flies all over the place. So here he's saying the animals will also fall. It will be great, great tragedy to all these animals as well. V'haya, kol ha-notar, Alana, would you be okay with reading?
V'haya kol ha-notar, mikol ha-goyim. Habaim al Yerushalayim the alo the day shana the shana le hishtachavot le melech Adonai vaot velachog et har kasukot.
Okay, here's where we can now start to discuss what does Sukkot have to do with this parak. says that the goyim who come to Yerushalayim, they better come year after year, and they better bow down to God and to observe the festival of Sukkot. All right, so that's our Sukkot connection. Now let's look at the very next pasuk and see the rain connection. Joel, would you help us with that, Yisai? Right. You want to translate that? Smashi says, Gisham and Mamash. He's really talking about rain. Yeah, what are you saying?
So which other nations will not, which other families of the world will not come to Yerushalayim to bow down to the king of the world, God of the hosts?
Okay, now you see a lot of things regarding sukkahs and water and, you know, nisuch hamayim and the arava and the four minim. No question that was, you know, ratos hamayim. And Rashi just says that it's a simple pshat, and we don't have to read into this. Okay, as you'll see in the connection to Egypt, because Egypt does not have to look up to the roofs for their water. Okay, so let's see what Egypt has to do with this. Alan, would you take us into your chest there? Rashi just tells us very simply that the reason why this prophet picks on Mitzrayim per se is, as I said before, Mitzrayim does not have to look up to the heavens for their water needs. So you'd better celebrate Sukkot, pal, if you want to be saved in that time. I think that you're just because you have the Nile that you don't have to observe Sukkot. Right? God is going to smite you with all of these aforementioned afflictions if you don't come to celebrate Sukkot. So Zostia Hachatas Mitzrayim Hachatas Kol HaGoyim Asher Yalu L'Chog is Chag HaSukkot. This is what's going to happen to all of the goyim that don't observe Sukkot. Glenn, tell us what it is. Actually, I'm sorry. We learned what it is.
Yeah,
it's what we said already. This is something new. Okay, this is Rashi says that it's the punishment. Chatas Yom means punishment. Right, like Kayan says, Gadol Avoni Min So. That's why she writes there also, my punishment. This punishment you give me is too great for me to bear. Okay, Chav, Shil, would you read the Yom Ahum?
Yom Huyya Am Shilot Asus, Kodesh Lashem. Vaya Sirot Bebet Hashem, Kamizra Kim with Nehem Azbeth.
Let's see what this means. Let's say, Am Metzilot Asus, it's Metzilot Asus. Right, things to put for decoration on a horse above its head, between its eyes, usually, right? Right? So on that time, even on the horses, will be the words Kodesh Lashem. Do you know where those words do appear?
Kohen
Gadol sits between his eyes, for goodness sake. Can put them on horses? What? The Yahad Siroz Beveis Hashem Kamizrakim Lifnei HaMizbeach. That's what she's saying here. Okay, Rashi has a very, very simple explanation to this. Right? Rashi's not saying that people will adorn horses with tzitzis. Right? And, you know, those gold plates that they had on the Kohen Gadol's head. Rather, what he means is that there will be such a rush to donate product to the Beit HaMikdash for the various needs, just to introduce you to certain words. The Beit HaMikdash is something called Kedushas Domim, money gifts, and Kedushas Haguf. Kedushas Haguf means donating something that the Beit HaMikdash actually needs. That might be shovels to shovel the coal, or it might mean an animal. You know, animals in the Beit HaMikdash. Wine, wood, is the best example. Most common example, because you really needed a lot of that. Oil, flour, right? Kedusha Sedamim, the Gemara says, can apply to everything in the world but Avodah Zarah. And any Surah Hanah, things that you can't give chametz on Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash as a gift. But you can give dust. You can give anything. You can give this cap. You find out what it's worth, and you have to dedicate that to the temple. Right? So everything can be dedicated. But this could not have Kedusha Sagur. The temple doesn't use this kind of thing. The Kohanim did not play Scully. So, Kelly? So the point is that what Rashi says that the pasuk means is that the people didn't write Kodesh Lashem on the horses' decorations, but what they did was they would take off the horses' decorations and dedicate it to be Kodesh Lashem. That's Kedushas Damim. Why? Because in the end there's going to be so much work in the temple that people are going to be rushing to take everything they have, even from the decoration of the horses, in order to give up to the temple. Like the first temple that was built, Mishkan in the desert, where they said, give up your jewelry. People will be just very excited to do that. I think we would all be very thrilled to know that Dora gets to read the last pasuk. I must say, it's a little downer for me. I'm not sure even what this pasuk means. The Canaanites have to do with anything here. But actually, he's not talking about Canaanites, so we'll see that in a minute. But he says, Kol Sir B'Yerushalayim B'Yehuda Kodesh Lashem. Every pot in Yerushalayim. He's obviously being a little either sarcastic or maybe a little bit... hyperbolic. Yeah, maybe a little bit overstatement. Hyperbolic is that what you said? Yeah. So it means every single pot in Israel is going to have kedusha to it because they're going to need it for kachim. Right? Vol kolos ovchim, all the people who bring kabanos, lakumehem will be shlubahem. They're going to need them to cook in them. It's like the Shira was in the war. Lo yeknani od beis Hashem tzakos beyomahu. What does that mean? Does Zechariah have to end his sefer such a cryptic manner just for the heck of it? I mean, I was sort of getting into it at the end. It was sort of an easier prophecy. Mm-hmm. Right? So, remember what we said about Kanani earlier? Two things. First of all, Kanani does not mean Kananite. It's a merchant, right. Lamaisa, he's trying to say that there will be so many contributions of these pots and this metal at that time, there will be no need for the merchants to sell their wares to the shulchan. However, I would like to introduce the second parish of Rashi, and this I think this parish stands on its own. I'm not sure it's fair enough. It's a good enough way to end the sefer because it's just saying how much things will change and when this day is upon us. However, Rashi gives us. Remember, we said another pshat in Kanani a few times in Kan Oni. Remember that. The Gemara concludes in the Sefer Shabbos that lo yechdal evyon b'kerav haaretz. There will always be poor people, maybe for different reasons when Mashiach comes, but there will be poverty. After all, if there's no poverty, I was going to have the mitzvah tzedakah. Gemara wants to say that one of the proofs that ein bein olam hazeh l'imos ha-mashiach ha-leshubud malchus bilhad, the world will not change at all on the way it runs, it's just a peace dividend. One of the proofs is that it would appear that the one thing that the average person would consider, well, what's going to change when Mashiach comes? Well, of course, we'll all be rich. Right? There will be no poverty. Not so fast. Right? But the Gemara does not contend with this opinion here, because the Gemara understands Kanani to be Kanani. But Rashi might have been aware of certain variant readings of this word regarding Ein Kan Oni. There's no poverty. Okay. Hadron Aloch Sefer Zechariah. What a serious, serious situation we just finished. Okay, that's beautiful. Yishkayach to all of you.